A bill introduced in the House by California Democrat Mark Decano would restore collective bargaining rights to health care providers at the Veterans Affairs Department. Now, under the current system, nurses, doctors, dentists, among others, do not have the same bargaining rights as other federal employees. Marilyn Park is the legislative representative at the American Federation of Government Employees. She joins me now to discuss the VA Employees Fairness Act. Marilyn, good morning. Thanks for joining me.
Good morning.
All right, so let's give us a little background here. At the VA, there is a law in place now for close to 20 years that says they cannot bargain collectively, correct?
That's right. Well, it's actually based on VA policy of the law. So since 1991, they actually put on the books on purpose a law to give doctors and nurses and this other group of six, it's a group of eight altogether, bargaining rights to make sure that they could bargain. But over the years, because the bargaining rights law for these VA doctors and nurses is written a little differently than the bargaining rights law for the rest of federal employees, those who wanted to take away their bargaining rights and silence them and control them unfairly have created policies that exploit this law, this difference in the law, to deny them the right to use collective bargaining in the way that other federal employees do. And we're talking over very, very routine matters like what your schedule it is, whether your assignment is as a nurse, or whether the doctor gets time for additional training, or whether the overtime pay for the nurse is calculated correctly. So what this law has to be changed is to make sure that no one can interpret it to treat these people as second-class citizens in the VA.
Now, the employees that we're talking about at the VA, are some of them members of AFGE now? And if so, you know, what happens between them and AFGE and the agency?
Well, what happens under current law as it works. So we represent all of the everyone on that list of affected workers are people that we represent, and we are the largest representative by far of this group of workers in the country. And we pursue their collective bargaining rights, but let's say I represent a hospital here in D.C., and we represent both the psychologist who has full Title V bargaining rights and the psychiatrist who do very similar work, and he or she has limited bargaining rights because of this VA policy and different language in the law. We will represent them both in their grievances and arbitrations and to negotiate for them, but management will treat them entirely differently. So we are less able to use the collective bargaining process to help the doctors and nurses and physician assistants and dentists than we can if they were in the full Title V world. So it really means day to day that one group can use the collective bargaining process efficiently and fairly to get things taken care of and just do the work of the VA, and the other is basically silenced and muzzled and cannot fix things in the VA. And the thing that we're seeing the most is that these days you're seeing a lot of frontline healthcare people in the VA speaking up for patients. And, you know, we've had series and hearings and headlines about everything the VA needs to fix, and we think that's really important because who knows better how to fix it than the ones delivering the care on the front lines. But if managers continually try to intimidate you, harass you, give you bad performance evaluations, assign you to positions and schedules in a retaliatory way to punish you for speaking up, and you don't have the recourse of the collective bargaining agreement in the same way as your colleagues, that's bad for the veterans and very, very bad for morale.
Now, as federal employees, they have access to other processes, such as those that are spelled out in the Merit Systems Protection procedures.
Well, they actually don't have all the same rights, because if you are under this small group of employees that are, and let me just name them so we know it's...
Yeah, let's tell us what the eight are,
yes,
sure.
I'm sorry. It's physicians, dentists, registered nurses, physician assistants, podiatrists, optometrists, chiropractors, and a very small group called expanded duty dental auxiliaries. So the big group there are physicians, dentists, registered nurses, and PAs, although everybody is in the same group, but they're the ones that I think day-to-day you see in the intensive, you know, primary care clinics and mental health clinics. really, really facing the pressures of growing demand with too few resources. Okay, so this group, we're talking about maybe 40,000 altogether in the country, but that's a lot of people holding up the VA care. The other group in the VA is about 90,000. So this is, and you know, obviously, if these people were working in the Defense Department doing doctor, nurse, dentist work, PA work, etc., they would have the same rights as everybody else. So, but you were asking about the other agencies that they can use. So another quirk in the law, it's very interesting how there's several ways that the law doesn't treat this group the same as others. And we're looking at other legislation to correct that. But the way it was set up, if you are in this affected group and you are, I would say, charged with a question of competence, of medical, you know, professional competence, you actually don't go to MSPB as other federal employees do. You go to an internal board called the Disciplinary Appeals Board. It's sort of like a board of peers that reviews that claim. So if you were to have if you go through that, you don't get to go to MSPB. You can appeal that to court under a very, very limited review, but it's only your internal agency review of your competence that you have. So it's actually a whole different set of rules in general for people in the healthcare profession if you happen to be in this group. So this is why, this is another reason why this bill is so important, because it expands rights to a group that doesn't have all the same rights as other groups.
We're speaking with Marilyn Park. She's legislative representative for the American Federation of Government Employees. Now, this gambit to create this legislation that would change the Title V law, I guess, is what it is there it's aimed at. Is this prompted by recent, say, the past year's history at VA?
Actually, it's been prompted. We've been waging this fight for a while, and it's been prompted by a decades-old policy in the VA. Prior to the Bush administration's arrival on the scene in 2003, the same law was in place, but the intent of working together with labor and allowing everyone to collectively bargain over routine issues that I raised because it was better for the VA healthcare system as a whole, there was a good agreement in the Clinton years. It really worked. It resolved these issues through collective bargaining voluntarily, or, you know, it interpreted the law to allow that. But when the Bush administration came in, they tore up that agreement and many other labor management agreements, and they said, this is a good loophole in the law, or a good fuzzy area in the law that we can exploit to take rights away. And there may have been some efforts since then to try and put it back, but it's really never been restored. Ultimately, I think the HR people, that real human resources people that have seen this as a valuable tool to intimidate, control, and silence as many of these clinicians as they can. It's never been lifted. And we've been struggling ever since, you know, at the local level and at the national level.
And so 6.5, 7 years into the Obama administration, they haven't been able to put back the agreements that that were in place during the Clinton administration.
No, we had an agreement that was very, very unsatisfactory after a long, long cooperative process of discussing it. An agreement was put in place that did not fully reflect our discussions. And in the long run, every day, you know, I get to be here in Washington and talk the big picture. But every day, our little nurses and doctors, our doctors and nurses at a little local facility, they don't have time to fight in Washington. What they have to deal with is the HR person that says, I'm not going to participate in a grievance on your concern about this unfair schedule. So we're not coming to the table. Just take it or leave it, and if you don't like it, you can leave the VA. And at a time when we are trying so hard to get more veterans in the door, and we know that this whole crisis of waitlist gaming and all that was driven in large part by chronic short staffing because the VA has not been funded for two wars for the past 10 years. So to tell people take it or leave it and you can just leave the VA, that's what's happening at the local level, and our people on a day-to-day basis can't fight it all the time. So it's just denying the right to bargain locally is really our biggest problem.
And I wanted to ask you, too, about the something that is being stated at Representative Takano's website, and that is that the nurses and other professions would have the right to bargain over compensation and pay. And that's something I don't believe any other federal employees have that AFGE represents. Am I correct in that?
May I clarify? No, it would not change that right. No federal employee can bargain over the setting of pay. It's just not change that. But what every federal employee with full bargaining rights can bargain over is the proper application of pay rules. So if I went and worked on the weekend and I thought I was entitled to weekend pay as a nurse who did the graveyard shift in the operating room or whatever, and I was there all night and I'm entitled to a 25% differential, and they decide that, no, you're not getting that this weekend, even though the rules are very clear that I'm entitled to it, that would be what I could grieve over. But I don't get to grieve whether I'm getting the pay of a nurse 1 or 2 or a GS 9 or 7. That never gets changed. That's management's right. But when management calculates pay wrong or denies pay under clear rules, that has always been grievable for other federal employees, and that's all we're asking. And, Tom, if I may just also give a shout-out.
Sure. Please be my guest.
That Sherrod Brown on the Senate side has also been leading this fight for many years, and he also introduced a companion bill this year, as he's done in many past Congresses, and he's got Senator Sanders and Merkley on it as well. So I wanted to recognize the very important role the Senate's been playing in this campaign.
And do you know of any Republicans, or have you approached any of them to get some bipartisan support?
This Congress, we're going to work on that, absolutely. We've seen Republicans standing up for federal employees and a number of things, and we think we should look for them here, too. In the past, we've had some bipartisan support. But in recent years, it's been harder to get that kind of crossover on certain issues, and this is, very much a labor issue. But we will try. And it was great when we had that bipartisan support, and I think they should, because everybody, bipartisan commitment to fixing the VA and making sure people who speak up for patient care in the VA are protected and not retaliated against. And yes, I will say this. We believe that nurses and doctors who face retaliation can go to the Office of Special Counsel, but you have to first be a whistleblower for that. But in general, when people are retaliated in the workplace or targeted or singled out or just treated unfairly because of incompetence, let's say, by a HR person or manager, they have to have recourse because they won't stay there and we'll lose good people. And I think that for Republicans and Democrats alike, a strong VA workforce is the goal here.
All right. Marilyn Park is the legislative representative at the American Federation of Government Employees. Thanks so much for joining me.